The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Been there for 52 years. And not Peabody, but Peabody, Massachusetts, as all of us know, because we are local. We are North Shore 104.9, local radio station, North Shore, Merrimack Valley, Southern New Hampshire area. We all know that this place is called Peabody. Speaking about funny ways to say names of towns or words, have you seen the most recent Hyundai Sonata ad that's called the Smart Park? If you haven't seen this, it's actually going to run during the Super Bowl tonight. That's right. Today's Super Bowl Sunday. But if you go into YouTube or you just type in Smart Pack, SMAHTPAHK, you're going to see this ad. It is absolutely hilarious. It has, I can't even pronounce his last name, John Kosnowski, the guy from The Office. He also plays Jack Ryan in Netflix. I forget the woman's name. She is a ton of Saturday Night Live episodes, and the guy that played Captain America, the three of them are in it. David Ortiz has a cameo appearance in it, as does our own Tony V, who's here on the radio periodically. Tony V, I think, plays the role of a homeless guy. I think that's his role, and he just says, "There's no one driving the car!" Or, "There's no one in the car," something like that. It is a very, very funny ad. It makes fun of the Massachusetts accent, but I think it's a great, memorable ad for the Hyundai Sonata. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Actually, I'm sure you'll be checking out a lot of ads today because it's Super Bowl Sunday, and frankly, we don't care about the game. We care more about the commercials this year, which is really strange, isn't it? Are you finding yourself that you've got, like, nothing to do for Super Bowl? I mean, for the past several years, I've always hosted a Super Bowl party at my house, or things have been, you know, you've been going to Super Bowl parties. Have you heard there's big events going on here or there? I have no idea what I'm going to do on Super Bowl Sunday. No idea what I'm going to do tonight. So if you have any ideas, you know how to reach me. I've given you my cell phone number and no, really. Just if you have any ideas, I don't know, send me an email, Mark, M-A-R-C, at friedmanfinancial.com. I'll come to your party. I've got nothing to do today, so welcome to come. I'm actually, believe it or not, going to be rooting for the Chiefs, and I think I might be in the minority here. We can actually do that here. We can pick and choose a team, and I don't think anybody really cares, but the more and more I hear about it, it's like, hey, wouldn't it be great if Jimmy G won a Super Bowl? You know what? I think it's Patrick Mahomes' time. He has worked super hard over the past few years. He's worked his way up. He's clearly a leader in the quarterback position. I mean, Jimmy G has not really built himself up as the superstar of that team. The 49ers have a lot of superstars, but Patrick Mahomes, he's the guy, and I'd love to see him win it. I got a good friend that lives in Kansas City, and I razz on her quite a bit because every time the Patriots play the Chiefs, the Chiefs come so close and they've lost to the Patriots. But this year, I'm rooting with her, and I really hope that Kansas City wins. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. Hey, this past week, I had the pleasure of being an invited guest on the new morning show hosted by Erica and Donnie. Donnie was dog sick, and he was at home, unfortunately posting pictures from his bed and from the shower, and it just unnecessary, but he was sending us pictures that morning. Jimmy Carter, not the president, but the real Jimmy Carter, the one that works here at the radio station. Jimmy, that's J-I-M-M-I. He is the real Jimmy Carter. He was here helping us do the morning show. It was a lot of fun. But one of the things we asked of our listeners, we said, hey, we're going to do kind of a free-form Sunday dollars and cents show, a Super Bowl Sunday dollars and cents show, and we'll base it on questions that come in to us either over the course of the weeks, people that write in questions to me, or people that submitted questions through the Facebook page that North Shore 104.9 has up on Facebook, of course. And if you're not friends or have not connected yet, go to North Shore 104.9 and you can be connected with everything that's going on over here at the station. You'll see some of the pictures that have gone on. You get find out about the contests that are going on. They got a lot of stuff. They're actually giving away a 7-day cruise. That's right. They're giving away a 7-day celebrity cruise. You still have another week to call in. I think each hour in the morning show, the caller number 9 gets entered for the drawing, and it's a 7-day cruise for two to the Bahamas out of Boston. So the Bahamas or Bermuda? I think Bermuda out of Boston. So, hey, give that a shot. They're always giving away gift cards, always stuff to give away. And one thing that I want to remind you about that I've actually personally taken advantage of. If you this is a local radio station. We try to do stuff to connect our community so that you know what's going on. And, we have become creatures of habit. We go to the same restaurants. We go to the same barbershop. We go to the same places for everything that we do. And there's so much more going on in our community, whether it's at your local high school, whether it's at theaters, whether it's at different venues around the area, whether it's parks or whatever it could be. What I'd encourage you to do is go and check out the North Shore 104.9 community calendar. That is on the website. There's a drop-down menu that talks about all the different things that are going on in our community. And if you have an event, an event that's at no cost, it's a non-for-profit event that you want to post on the website, you can do that as well. The reason that I'm talking about it is next weekend, my son Noah and my son Corey are going to be in the musical Footloose at North Shore. At North Andover High School. This drama guild that they over at the high school is really, really exceptional. They do some amazing shows, and I'm a little biased. My son Noah this year earned the lead role in Footloose, so he'll be in that. Corey's going to be in it, and it's just going to be great. And if you can make it over to the high school, if you want to go see some great theater, it's an inexpensive night. You know the soundtrack to Footloose. I mean, every song. You'll recognize every single song in the show because you grew up with it. Many of you did, at least. I know I certainly did. The tickets, I think, are $15 or $10 for kids Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next weekend. So if you want to go, swing by, and I'll probably be there at every show. And if you happen to see me around, come over and say hello, and maybe I'll give you a shout-out next weekend on Dollars and Cents. Anyways, a couple other things to know about. Friedman Financial, each year for our – this is going to be our 21st year – we offer up a scholarship. Our scholarship is for $1,000, and it's offered up to a graduating senior at any of the area high schools, of course, who are looking to go on to trade school, a college, a university, wherever you're planning on going. And you can apply for a $1,000 scholarship. We've given out over $21,000 in scholarship money because it's $1,000 each time. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. You'll see the button that says, get the scholarship application. You'll put your name in it. You got to provide, I think it asks for a transcript of your grades, your extracurricular activities. But the way somebody wins, the winner, and it's the heaviest weighting on this component. It's a 500-word or less essay that answers the question, what does financial responsibility mean to me? It's the question we've been asking for 21 years now. And each year, our team of committee people go through all of the applications. They review all of the essays. The winner, of course, gets that $1,000 scholarship, but they also get their essay posted on our website and in our newsletter that week so we can share it all out. You get a lot of publicity, a lot of promotion. Many people locally, your children, your grandchildren have won this scholarship. If you're interested or if you know somebody who's graduating this year that you think might be interested in applying for our scholarship, please go to our website or call the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, and we'll be sure to get you an application. All right. So, like I said, in the earlier show, when I was on the morning show earlier this week, I asked people to write in with questions. Questions about, what's on your mind? What question, if you could ask any question of a financial advisor and not have to worry about paying for it or anything like that, what would you ask? Well, one of the questions that came in was, Mark, the market appears to be at an all-time high, and I just received some money. What should I do with this money? Should I invest it now or should I wait? And I thought that was a fair question to ask. I mean, it is. The market is very high. And I get that question asked a lot. So this isn't the first time I'd heard it. So I have to ask myself, ask you as well, are you an investor or are you a speculator? A speculator says, I want to buy something and make a quick buck. Or an investor is someone that says, I want to put my money into good quality investments, let it sit there for 5 years, 10 years, or even more and make money on it. Well, if you're an investor, it doesn't matter when you're investing. I don't care whether the market's high or whether the market's off 20% from its high. It's always a good time to invest if you believe the market's going to be higher 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or even 5 years from now. Because at the end of the day, if the market's higher, you're not going to remember whether today was the right time to invest or when the market was off 5%. But if you're a speculator, well, that's a whole other story. But speculators don't invest through Friedman Financial. Speculators are buying investments. They think they're going to make a quick buck. They either make it quickly or they lose it quickly. Speculation basically happens, as you well know, at the casino. Encore has a lot of speculators that are over there. You're speculating when you're buying a lottery ticket. You're speculating when you're buying and betting on a ball game. And you're also speculating when you're buying an individual stock. We try to stay away from the speculation business. I want to help you make smart financial decisions, and I want to work on providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to do a lot more of that when we get back. But before we head out, I want to remind you about our newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on my website, put in your name, your email address. You can even type me a question, send me a message, whatever you like. But you will be enrolled as one of more than 7,000 subscribers who get our free weekly newsletter. Lands in your mailbox at 10:30 in the morning. It's called Planning Pointers. Enjoy it. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more questions from our listeners. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located, you know it, in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. It's funny. Someone swung by the office last week and had been saying, you know, I hear your story, I hear your show on the radio, I hear your ads that run on North Shore 104.9, and I had always thought about calling you and swinging by, and I just wasn't quite sure where your building was or where your office was. And I was over at the North Shore Mall, and I looked to my right, and I saw your name on the building just above Alto Forno. And as I'm sitting in the parking lot, I said, you know what, I'm calling. And so I called the office to schedule an initial consultation. I was staring at your building from the parking lot and scheduled an appointment, and she came in a couple weeks later. But apparently there is some name recognition. Our name is on the building. So if you'd like to swing by and schedule an initial consultation or call to make an initial consultation, we'd be happy to meet with you. One of the things that I'm trying to do on today's show is to continue my promise of what I had agreed to do on the morning show this past week with Erica and Donnie, though Donnie wasn't there. Jimmy was there because Donnie was homesick, but Erica was there. And I said, have the listeners type in questions on the Facebook page or send it to me directly. And I had given out my email address. And I will try to answer as many listener questions as possible on my show this Sunday. So I just tried to answer one during the first segment, but you know, we got to let our station identify themselves and take the breaks and all that kind of stuff. So I was getting squeezed out a little bit, and I rushed for the answer on the last one. So let me ask the question again, or offer up the question again, and I'm going to give you a more complete answer. One of the listeners wrote in that said, Mark, you know, this market's sitting near an all-time high, and I just received an inheritance, and I'm wondering what I should do with the money. Should I wait until the market drops, or should I invest the money right now? Well, I think that's a question on most investors' mind, whether you have an inheritance or not, or maybe you just want to save money on a regular basis, or you're rethinking your strategy. You're wondering, okay, I've made all this money. You've seen your statements over the past couple of years, especially over the past couple of months, and you're going, man, my account's gone up pretty well. Should I cash out? What should I do? Well, I think you need to ask yourself this question. First of all, number one, what's the purpose of the money? What do you think you're going to use the money for? And if you think you're going to use the money right now, or to buy a car in 3 months, or to buy a house in a year or two, well, the answer is very easy. It's not like, let's see what the market does over the next 12 to 18 months. The answer is sell. It's really that simple. Well, Mark, but there's taxes to have to pay, and I'm not... Well, would you prefer to pay less tax because your account value dropped when it's time to cash out? Sell. Take the money out, put it in someplace safe. You know you have the money. I don't care if it's earning 1% or even 0% at the bank. The money is safe. It's there for you. It's easy to turn into a banker's check or a cashier's check or a bank check so you can purchase your home. You can put the money. You can wire the funds. You have the funds available. You have no worries. You see, the whole thing to me is, especially in a market like this, you have to ask yourself, when it's time for important financial decisions, what parts of my financial decisions can I control and what can I not control? If your account is done well and you know that you have a big expense coming up in the near future and you know that the intent was to use some of the money to pay for that expense down the road, you can now take control and take possession of that money. The longer you wait to take the money, you have given up some control. You've given control to outside forces that are beyond your control. And then you have to run the risk. I think we need to try to put ourselves in a position where we worry less and have more control. My kids always joke with me about the fact that I worry too much. Well, and because like my son, Jerry, I've talked about this in the radio station a lot, is that Jerry's like, Dad, what do you worry about? You know, everything's going to work out. Everything's going to do. And that's fine when you're 19 years old or 20 years old and you have to take care of yourself and you just have to cover your basic expenses. You're at college. Everything's paid for. It's all, you know, if something doesn't work out, it'll all work out for them. I think we know as parents, the minute you have a child, your number one thing that you do is worry. You worry about your kids every single day. And when they're upset, you're more upset. And, you know, sometimes you can see the parents, they come across with a tough, side. They say, just suck it up. You'll deal with it. But we worry. I worry about my kids. And as they get older, because I know there are things going on in their life that they should be worrying about, that they don't worry about, because I already see down the road what's likely to happen. I can't tell you, well, it's happened a few times, certainly with my son, Jerry, where Jerry will say, hey, Dad, you know, I need to get a flight from Miami back to Boston because Jerry's at University of Miami. So I will book a flight for Jerry, take care of the whole thing. You know, maybe 2 months before he flies home. And so then I'll call him a week before. I said, hey, Jerry, what's the plan with the flight to come home? What time is your flight? Oh, did you book that flight? Yeah, I booked the flight. I said, don't you have the information? Nah, it's somewhere. I don't know. I said, Jerry, when are you heading home? I said, I got it down that you're leaving on Friday. Oh, I am? All right, no problem. What time is my flight at? What time is your flight at? Jerry, come on. And so Jerry had an 11 o'clock flight, 11 a.m. flight on a Saturday morning. And I get a call from Jerry. I'm like thinking to myself, he's not going to make this flight. 11:15, I get a call from Jerry. Dad, it's Jerry. I just woke up. I think I missed my flight. It's like, really? And I'm ticked off that he missed his flight. We got to rebook the flight, got to pay the change fee, all this kind of stuff, right? And he's like, yeah, but Dad, I'll get home safe. Don't worry. It's like, dude, oh God, we worry. That's our nature as parents, is to worry about stuff. But the things that you don't have to worry about, wouldn't it be nice if you could control more? And when it comes time for money, like answering this question of what do I do if I need money in the short term, get it out of the market. Stop taking the risk. So then it goes back to this bigger question, and we're trying to answer some questions from listeners to the show that said, the market's up at an all-time high. I want to invest money. Is now a time to do it, or should I wait for the market to pull back? So you have to answer the question, are you a speculator or are you an investor? We talked about this in the first segment. An investor says, I'm putting this money into quality investments with the expectation that it's going to be worth more 3, 5, 10, 15 years from now. Not so that I can take it out in a year from now. If you're looking to take it out in less than a year or two, frankly, you're a speculator because anything could happen. Look, I mean, a lot of people over the past several months, maybe even the past few years, have all thought that our president was going to ultimately lead to the demise of the stock market. Well, how's that worked out for you? Stock markets rallied like crazy, right? But what's happened this past week? Something that we couldn't have planned for, something that was out of our control, this coronavirus. Now, at first, this is not drinking bad beer. It is a virus, kind of like SARS. Remember the SARS epidemic that happened in China? Or there was the Asian flu. They called it the bird flu. They had that. And the market, people got scared. And I'll tell you, it's pretty scary. You know when I get scared? When I start to worry? If Disney World has to shut down for the day, that's a pretty scary thing because Disney World does not shut down. Now, Disney World here in America did not shut down, but Shanghai Disney did. And the market dropped almost 500 points earlier this week. And so people thought, oh my God, could this be the end of the stock market? Well, I will tell you, the stock market was just kind of reacting to some bad news, some uncertainty around an epidemic that's there. And they had to ask, all right, is this something that is going to impact business? Because if people can't work in China, does that impact imports here to this country? Does it stop for the production of goods and services that are being built in China? Will it stop people from spending money at Starbucks and McDonald's and all of the places that the Chinese would be spending money on in China? Yeah, for a day or two, I bet. But is it an epidemic? Should we be buying? Someone said, oh, we need to be buying 3M, by the way. You've heard of the company 3M. They make those masks that you wear that has the clip over your ears and that cover up your mouth and your nose. They go, maybe we should buy that. That's like speculate. It's like, really? No. What you have to do is you have to ignore some of the noise, and the media makes this into a way bigger deal than it is. And sure enough, some 48 hours later, the stock market is back to where it was after losing the 500 points. We can't worry about stuff that we can't control. We can't control what's going to happen with the coronavirus. We can't control what's going to happen with, might happen in Afghanistan or Iran or wherever else it might be. What you can control is the control over your own money. And if you need money today, if you need money soon and now, you need to have it in a safe place. I don't care how good the stock market has been over the past several years. Your investments in the stock market is not your emergency fund. You have to ask yourself, do I have right now 3 to 6 months of my ongoing expenses sitting in the bank? I don't care if it's earning zero, that is easily accessible to me. Some of you might say yes, some might say no. And then others will say, well, I don't really know what my monthly expenses are. Aha! Well, that, my friends, is an even bigger problem. If you don't know what you're spending on a monthly basis to meet your monthly obligations, that is a bigger problem. Not whether you're in large cap or small cap or value or growth or bonds or stocks or anything like that. You got to get control of what you can control, and you can control an understanding of what you spend every month. And I will tell you, many people, without doing the work, if they just speculate what they spend, they're generally way off. And I see that on a regular basis at Friedman Financial, because one of the first things that we do when clients come to our office is we want to understand the big picture of your financial life. We want to understand where everything is and what everything is worth, because when you come to us, you're saying to us, Mark, I want you and Marion and Friedman Financial to act as a fiduciary, to place my interests first. Answering the question of, oh my goodness, I just inherited $100,000. What should I do with the money? That is not a question for a financial planner. That is an action item that follows steps within an overall financial plan. But if we don't know how that $100,000, that inheritance that you're receiving, impacts everything else in your life and where that all works, I'm not doing you a service. I'm not placing your interest first. So the first thing we need to understand is where everything is, what everything is worth. That includes your house, your bank accounts, 401k statements, retirement accounts, IRAs, investment accounts, insurance, taxes, all that stuff. We know where it all is. We know how it all lays out. And then we take a look at what comes into your house on an annual basis. Are you paid through salary or through what's called 1099 income as a contractor? Maybe you make your money through tips. What goes to taxes? And then what's left over and available to you? And how is that money used? Now, I don't care whether you shop at Whole Foods or Stop and Shop or Market Basket. I don't care. I don't care whether you get your nails done every week or every month. I don't care if you golf four times a week. None of that stuff matters to me. I will never look that far into your budget because it doesn't matter. But what I do want to understand is how much money comes in every week, every month, and how much goes out every month. Most people will think, well, I got my mortgage payment, I got my cable bill, I got electric, I got my phone bill, and they forget all the other stuff. And oftentimes people will say to me, I probably spend around $4,000 to $5,000 a month. We see this happen a lot. People say, probably $4,000 or $5,000 a month. And when we really look at it, the number's more like eight or nine. And the reason is we forget about running to the ATM. All that money you take out of the ATM, that's still an expense. And you're creating cash for things. Or you put $2,000 or $3,000 a month or more on your credit card. And you don't think about that bill. All of those things add up. So it's real important for us to understand what you're spending versus what's coming in. And then what are you saving? And one of the best ways for me to judge whether you're staying on track when we meet with clients, because we're doing this net worth statement, you might tell me, look, Mark, I've got $35,000 sitting in the bank right now. And that's what you told me a year ago. And this year, you come to see us and you say, I got $35,000 sitting in my bank account. Okay. And I see that your investment account has grown maybe 10 or 15%. Maybe your 401k has grown a bit too. And you say to yourself, I just don't understand it because I'm only spending $4,000 or $5,000 a month, though you might be making $100,000 or something. And I said, well, if that's the case, your bank account should be growing or there should be more money in your investment account. But if it's still remaining at the same level, that would suggest to me that you're spending everything that comes into the house. And we got to look at that. We want to make sure that you're actually doing what you think you're doing when you're planning for the future. Those first steps, that cash flow analysis, that net worth analysis, that really helps us understand how do we now build an investment portfolio that is structured properly for you. You don't want to be a speculator. If you want to speculate, go to the Encore. Buy scratch tickets. Bet on a ball game. Well, you can't do that in Massachusetts, right? That's illegal. You can go to, Plain Ridge Casino or something down in Rhode Island. But don't speculate on trying to figure out where's the next best coffee company going to come from or who's going to have the next tablet product. That's craziness. Leave that to the professionals. Leave that to the managers of what are called mutual funds or index funds or exchange-traded funds. Let them do that for you. We will help you build those proper portfolios while you can focus on the things that you can control, how you spend your money, understanding where it's all going on a month-to-month basis, making sure that you're getting the best value, the best that you can, and not worry about, oh my goodness, the stock market's at an all-time high. What should I do now? If you're investing in the stock market and you believe you're going to remain invested in the stock market 5, 10, 15, and 20 years from now, you got nothing to worry about. Just make sure you're invested in quality, that you're rebalancing appropriately, and you've got everything else in order. Control what you can control. That, my friends, is financial advice in a language you can understand. When we get back, I got more questions from our listeners to answer for you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Henny's North Shore Music Theater is turning 65 and celebrating with another extraordinary season of musicals. The 2020 subscription season kicks off in June with Thoroughly Modern Millie. The high-octane Tony-winning musical filled with flappers, tappers, and a roaring good time. Then get ready to be swept up in our magical family production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
It's possible. It's possible.
This will be followed by Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. And the hysterical sci-fi camp classic Little Shop of Horrors. The musical season will end with the Tony Award-winning feel-good musical, Kinky Boots. Become a five-show subscriber today and save up to 45%. The 2020 season will also feature the special springtime return of Mamma Mia. For discount subscription packages and ticket information, visit us online at nsmt.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Not me. I was two then. I started in a firm in 1991. Dad started the firm in 1968. That's when I joined him. Dad retired in 2007 when I took over full ownership of the firm. We've now since added Marion Gilman, who's been with me almost 20 years as a partner in the firm. Marion's with our, on our show periodically, not here today, but maybe she's going to a Super Bowl party. I mean, she didn't invite me now that I think of it, because I don't know what anybody want to invite me to a Super Bowl party today. I was thinking I always host a Super Bowl party because, hey, the Patriots are always in it, so we just host these big parties. And it occurred to me this morning, it's like, oh my goodness, it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So I guess I'll just sit around and pull out the Velveeta and the salsa. Do you ever do that? That is one of my favorite football party dips to do. I never do it when there's a ton of people at the house because it's really disgusting, but it's one of my cheesy favorites. It's just, have you ever done, you take the Velveeta cheese, you cut it up into the cubes, you put it into a glass bowl, then you take a jar of salsa, you pour the jar of salsa on top of it, you stick it in the microwave, you stir it up a little bit, you stick it in the microwave again, stir it up a little bit more, and it's great for the nachos. You will feel that in a few hours, I promise, but it is one of my tasty treats that I enjoy doing. So, hey, if you invite me to your Super Bowl party, I'll bring the Velveeta and salsa. Maybe I'll do something better. But, so I hope everyone's doing well this Sunday. Who are you rooting for today at the Super Bowl? I am rooting for the Chiefs. I know that is not a favorite choice here of many, but I'm voting for the Chiefs. I'd really like to see Patrick Mahomes win this thing. I think he's an up-and-coming superstar. I think he's earned his right to walk away with a Super Bowl MVP and really get the accolades that he deserves. He's been working super hard at this, especially when you think about the injury that he started with at the beginning of the year, that people wondered, will he even be able to finish the year or play through the rest of the year? He has been outstanding, especially in the playoffs, and he's certainly a leader on that team. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to this year, the commercials, because unlike previous years where I'd actually watch the game, you know, I was watching the Patriots play whomever they were going to play, and so when a commercial would come on, that was like bathroom break time. But now I will watch the game, but I'll be more interested in the commercials. And if you haven't seen the new Hyundai Sonata commercial for the Smart Pack, that should be a very, very interesting commercial. It is hilarious. They've actually already posted up there. David Ortiz has a cameo in it. Our own Tony V has a cameo in that commercial. That'll be fun. And I'm curious as to how they're going to handle this Planters commercial. I don't know if you've been following the social media around Mr. Peanut. Remember Mr. Peanut? There used to be a Mr. Peanut on Route 1 here. But apparently Mr. Peanut is going to die this weekend, and there's going to be a new, I guess, spokesperson or something's going to happen with the Peanut brand, with Mr. Peanut. But apparently the way that the ad was drafted says that he dies in a fiery crash. And in light of what's happened this week, the sad, sad story with Kobe Bryant and his daughter and so many other people that died in this helicopter crash, there is a public relations discussion and thoughtfulness as to how will they portray that ad this Sunday. Will it have some repercussions? Is it too insensitive to run this ad? Lots of discussion around that. I thought it's kind of interesting. It's amazing how real life real life surprises can have impact on things like public relations and media and all of that. I mean, man, I was at North Andover High School last Sunday painting the sets for our kids show. Footloose is going to be this weekend at North Andover High School. And someone had told me my cell phone reception wasn't working. Someone had said, hey, Kobe Bryant just died in a helicopter crash. I'm like, wow. I mean, I didn't believe it at first. You know, you want to go to Snopes. You want to check this stuff out. It's like, is this really real? And man, this is really real. And, you know, we can all relate with Kobe Bryant. 41 years old, a family guy, a superstar. I mean, you know, I remember going to the Garden and everybody yelling, you know, Kobe sucks and all that stuff. But we would say it tongue in cheek. I mean, Kobe was just, he was incredible, an incredible ball player, and a good businessman too. So we're going to miss him, and my condolences and deepest condolences to the entire family. But you know, I think what also gets lost in this is there are other families that were impacted by this too. And all this attention is going to be around Kobe and the challenges that he has seen and he's faced because of this tragedy and his family's faced. But these other families, man, they're going through some tough times too. And I hope that they get the attention and the support and everything else that they need as well. That is, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Anyways, it is Super Bowl Sunday. And a time for celebration. A lot of, it's the culmination of the football season this Sunday. And if someone will walk away victorious, I am rooting for the Chiefs. And, you know, frankly, there's a lot of money that gets wagered. And when we talk about money, this is one of those things where you say to yourself, am I investing in the stock market and in the Super Bowl, or am I speculating on the Super Bowl? And every wager that goes out today is a speculation. Some people will bet on how long will the kickoff remain in the air until the receiver grabs it. I mean, you can bet on anything for the Super Bowl. Look, how many of you have your for entertainment purposes only little grids that you've got, your charts and your blocks and all that stuff? We all do that, but there are so many side bets that goes on. It's a big day in Las Vegas. I'm sure it would have been a big day at the Encore if they allowed for casino betting. I mean, for sports betting, but they don't. Speaking of the Encore, so this past Friday, I went to the Encore. I'd not been there before. Friend of mine said, let's go. Lara was away for a few days, so we went to the Encore. And I will tell you, I got a little mad. I pulled up at about 6 o'clock to the Encore, and there's this stretch of cars backed up along the right-hand side, slowed up, and I'm thinking, why? Everything else, cars are moving. I mean, is it that busy there? And there's a big sign as you approach the casino that says, the parking lot is full. Park at parking across the street, it's $22, or you can park valet. And I'm thinking to myself, all the Encore has been doing is trying to get people to come to the casino, right? And they're talking about the garage that we have now. It used to be $22, park for free. And I'm one of these guys that says, you know, and I want to get value for stuff that I'm doing. So I'm waiting in line, and so sure enough, it sees, you know, it's closed. And so I said, you know what? I don't want to walk across the street. It was freezing outside last Friday. I don't know how far back in the lot I'm going to have to park. So we'll go valet. And I don't know what it's going to cost for valet, but we're going to go to the valet. So we go to the valet, and it's $30 to park at the valet. But I figured, you know, for the extra $10, fine, let the guy do it. He'll bring the car to me. It'll be fine. So I said to my friend Steven, I said, you know, with the parking lot being full already at 6:30, we could be in for some trouble trying to even get to a table, get anywhere. We were going to go in for dinner, and we did have reservations for 7 o'clock. We had a nice dinner at one of the Chinese restaurants in there. And we walk into the casino. We walk into actually the main part of the casino, and it's dead. I'm like, there's nobody here. I walk into the casino, and these people, dealers, are sitting at the tables, blackjack, baccarat, craps, standing there just waiting for someone to come and gamble. There's a bunch of people sitting at the slot machines, and I'm thinking to myself, how is the parking lot full, yet nobody seems to be here in the casino? And I got angry. I mean, I'm like, Rhea, you are really screwing us over, because there is no way that this parking lot is full. So I decided I was going to walk over to the parking lot, and I walked in. And sure enough, there's tons of spaces in the parking lot. Tons of them. Yet they were asking us to go across the street and pay $22 or valet at $30. So I'm there. I have dinner. And dinner was very good. And not too expensive. We ate at the Chinese restaurant. I thought it was reasonably priced. Food was good. I thought that all was great. Ultimately, my friend Steven and I, we went over and played at the craps table for a little while. I'm not a big gambler, so it's like, yeah, I wasn't too excited about that. We were there for about an hour or so and then left. So I go and get my car through the valet, and it's now around 9:30. So we've been there about 3 hours. And I'm driving out, and cars are pulling into the parking garage like crazy. It's like, what just happened? What just happened? Why was it that at 6:30, I had to pay to valet, yet at 9:30, where the, by the way, the casino was packed when we left at 9:30, cars are pulling in like nothing into the parking garage. I think I got screwed. And because I just walked out with that feeling, I don't know that I will ever return to the Encore. It was just, it was really almost insulting to see that. So to me, I mean, I'm all about getting value for my money. And that, I did not feel like I was getting value. I knew I was going to lose money at the table. I don't care about that. But I did not feel like I got value, and I really feel like I got ripped off. So that's my little vent about the Encore. And, I mean, you want to talk about speculating? They were speculating on me. They were speculating to see whether a sucker would actually pull up to the valet window and pay $30 and have the belief that the parking lot was absolutely packed and full when I walked in that garage, and it was not. I don't know what they were waiting for. I don't know what promises exist. Yes, it was Chinese New Year, so maybe there was a promise that a large contingency was coming in for a big party, for a Chinese New Year party. I don't know, but whatever it was, I felt ripped off. Nevertheless, I promised you here on the show that I would provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. That's how I think about money sometimes. I am, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I am so cheap. I don't know about you. When you go to a ball game, I know that they charge you outrageous amounts of money for beer and for food and all that stuff. But I was watching something, I think it was on Facebook. They do those kiss cams. You've seen them. They show these little compilations of videos of, you know, guys or girls turning to somebody and kissing them. And if they don't, someone takes a beer and dumps it over their head. I don't know about you, but when I see someone dump a beer or dump a popcorn, I'm thinking, what a waste of money. That's what I'm thinking. Not like, oh, that's funny. I'm thinking, why would you waste that money just dumping that beer on somebody's head? That's just me. I don't know. I'm a planner, I guess. I don't know. That's what I do. All right. I've got a couple minutes before the end of this segment. I know I've kind of gone on a little rant here. We've been trying to answer some questions that come in from some of our listeners. Someone sent in the question, Mark, could you tell me how I should ask for more money from your boss, from my boss? I thought that was an interesting question. So here's what I tell my kids. First of all, before you start asking for money from your boss, I want you to ask yourself this question. Number one, have you spent the last year trying to make your boss look better? I want you to think about that, because this is what I teach my kids. I said, if you want a promotion in life, if you want to get a raise, if you want to get a promotion, the only way that you get a promotion or that you get a raise is if your boss believes you're doing such a good job that you have made their job easier so that they can make their boss's job easier. Just because you work hard, you're expected to work hard. That's what they're paying you for. To do just your job does not justify a bonus, maybe a cost of living increase, but nothing more than that. Showing up on time for work, just working the obligated hours if you're a salaried employee, that's not worthy of a raise. Have you made your boss's life easier? If you can do that, you're going to get promotions. You're going to see bonuses. You're going to see yourself as a valued employee. Some people say, oh, that's brown nosing. Folks, that's business. That is business. And if you just want to just do your job and leave at 5 o'clock and be the first person at the exit when the bell rings or when your clock says it's 5 o'clock and you're the first one to the office at 8:30 when you're supposed to be there and not early, don't expect a raise. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Just because you do your job doesn't mean that you deserve a raise. Now, if you can do your job more efficiently and become more productive and save the company money and document and improve it, oh, those are a whole different things. But just doing your job, filling the boxes on that job description, folks, that's not going to get you more money. The number one thing, think to yourself, have I made my boss's life easier? And if you can, and you can articulate it, and even better if your boss recognizes it, that will get you more money. All right, we got to take a quick break. Before we get out of here, I want to remind you once again of our free newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday. It is called Planning Pointers. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website, put in your name, your email address. You can send me a note if you want, but we will sign you up, and you will get Planning Pointers this Friday, 10:30 in the morning. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
This is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial with important information concerning your retirement. In a rare showing of bipartisanship, Congress signed the SECURE Act into law. It revamps the rules around required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, and it changes the way non-spouse beneficiaries can inherit your retirement funds. If you've named a trust as your IRA's beneficiary, or if you're approaching retirement and planning to take a required minimum distribution, you may need to rethink your strategy. At Friedman Financial, we understand the new rules, and we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And schedule your free initial consultation.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the, you know it, North Shore Mall, and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. You'll see our name on the building out there on 41 Cross Street. If you're in the neighborhood during the day, swing by, say hello. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation during regular business hours between 8:30 and 5, we would be delighted to meet with you and show you how you can be part of a financial planning and investment management relationship that truly places your interest first. We're all about doing that. We have 450 households that we serve on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. 90% of them live or had roots within 10 miles of our office in Peabody. We've been doing this a long time, several generations of clients. One of the things that we've become good at, not that it was on purpose, is helping our clients talk about and manage the process after somebody passes away. We typically average, believe it or not, 18 deaths a year in my office. Now, remember, Dad started this firm in 1968. So if you were 30 years old when you came to my dad in 68, I mean, you're, you know, in your 80s right now. You can do the math, right? And you know, people die. I mean, that's part of life. It's part of the life cycle. And what we've learned is that more and more people are so unaware of what to do when somebody dies. Or if they're approaching the fact that somebody is going to die, how do I think about it? How do I plan for it? What do I do? Think about this. If your loved one right now, God forbid, passed away, what would you do? Of course, you'd be mourning, but ultimately you realize, oh my God, I have to take care of a funeral. I have to help with the accounts that they have. We got to pay bills. Who do you reach out to? What do you do? Folks, there are a lot of predators out there that scour the obituaries looking for vulnerable people who don't know what to do. We know how to handle this. We know, first of all, that there's no rush to do anything. There really isn't. And we want to have those open and honest conversations. We're often the first of three phone calls that a surviving spouse or a child makes upon the passing of somebody. Here's the reason why. Number one, you got to call the funeral home, right? You got to make that all of those arrangements. Number two, though, you need to perhaps call your attorney. But number three, if you call a firm like ours, one of the things that you know that's already set and the reason why people love working with us is we know where everything is and what everything is worth. Remember, we've talked about this from the beginning. You know, maybe mom and dad have a joint account or they own the house jointly, or maybe there's a retirement account or there's life insurance or benefits at work or whatever it might be. Are you going to call all of those entities and guess? Wouldn't it be nice if someone has already been maintaining this story of mom and dad's financial life, knowing who the beneficiaries are, who the joint owners are, what happens next, what are the tax consequences, how do I think this through? We have all of that already packaged up for all of our clients. to deal with primarily in life as to how to handle this, but God forbid there is an accident, a death, is that planned accordingly? I mean, it makes me think, I mean, there's the tragic death this past week of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. You will begin to see, just like when Prince passed away and other famous celebrities have passed away, somebody is going to start talking about, did this person do proper estate planning? Now, Kobe Bryant, a multi-millionaire, probably worth $100, $200 million or more. Did he plan his estate properly? Or is a lot of his money going to pay estate taxes? Think about that. Did Kobe Bryant need life insurance at this point, at this time in his life? I doubt it, unless he was using it to pay for estate taxes. But did he plan properly? Did he have it structured so that his wife would receive money? Would it go into a trust? Would his children be taken care of? How was money going to charity? What was going on there? You're going to start to hear about this. And people are like, oh, that's morbid details. We don't want to know about it. But what it becomes is a reminder of how important it is for us to plan appropriately, how fragile life is, and how quickly life and decisions and conversations can change in an instant. If you haven't done proper estate planning, it is critical that you do it. Now, people will say, well, all I need is a will. Well, frankly, most people, yeah, it's nice to have a will, but what the number one thing you need, you know what you need more than anything else? Something called a power of attorney. A power of attorney gives somebody else authorization to act on your behalf if you are unable to do so. Maybe you've been in a car accident and you can't sign your name. You need surgery. You need somebody to step up and sign things for you. Maybe you're out of the country and you need someone to sign your name to a document. A lot of different reasons for that. You need to have that power of attorney. You also need to have that healthcare proxy. What are your wishes? What are your desires? If something tragic were to happen to you, there had to be some decisions around life or death issues. We've often talked about the idea of a will, and many people says, oh, my will takes care of everything for me. Because your will, oftentimes, I've seen people say, well, I'll leave $5,000 to this charity and $2,000 to this nephew and $1,000 to this group and that. What oftentimes happens is those organizations don't get a lot of that money. And that's because many of your assets, your retirement accounts, your joint accounts, your home have already been pre-assigned to a different beneficiary just simply because of the way the account was set up. So let's say you had a $100,000 IRA account and you named your spouse, or let's say you're single, you've named your children as the beneficiary for that IRA. Well, the will might say, well, I got to give $2,000 to this charity and $3,000 to that one. Well, the money that's in the IRA, that's going to the kids. That's going all to the kids. The stuff that's listed in the will, that will be distributed if there's money that is available beyond what you've already assigned to a beneficiary. So maybe you have $20,000 in a checking account at Bank of America that's just in your name. Well, that might be what's called a probatable asset and subject to various guidelines, and maybe that will get distributed to the folks that you've listed in your will. But that could be it. You want to be very careful when it comes to planning for end of life. I hate to say this, but it's something that we're expert in. And oftentimes we see people coming in with questions for us. And the other thing that people ask us about is generally there is one spouse that generally handles all of the financial decisions in the household. And the surviving spouse or the other spouse doesn't know anything. Maybe it's the husband, maybe it's the wife that pays all the bills, that knows what the timing of some of these tax bills might be, how the bills are paid. Maybe you pay it through your online account. They get everything ready for the taxes. When it comes time for the cell phone to be up with a contract being up, that one person handles all of that, handles all of this stuff with the electrician and the plumber. They handle all of those things. Yet what if that person that did all of that was no longer there and now it's your job? Well, many clients come to us to introduce us to the other spouse so that the spouse knows, God forbid, if something happens to me, here's someone to turn to who has a full collection and understanding of what's going on in our financial life. These are critical components to making smart decisions about your financial situation. You notice today I'm not talking about whether you should buy mutual funds or large cap funds or small cap funds or bonds or anything like that. All that's important, but that stuff, once you make those decisions, a lot of that stuff's out of your control. What you can control is making arrangements, building points of communication, structuring your assets so that if something were to happen to you or decisions needed to be made or you needed to spend money this month, next month, a year from now, you can position yourself properly. There's no magic wand that says this is what works for everybody. Everybody spends money differently. Everybody thinks of money differently. A lot of it comes from the way we were brought up. Maybe it's the way our parents spent money. And maybe we want to do things differently from the way our parents did it. Chances are, in many cases, you're making more money than your parents ever did. Certainly more money than your grandparents ever did. In this world, you're probably not, unless you're a teacher or a federal, state or federal employee, you're probably not relying on a pension. You're relying on your 401k to provide you with an income stream over and above Social Security. It's daunting. It's scary when all of a sudden, instead of getting a $40,000 a year pension check from the government, knowing that, oh my goodness, I need to come up with $40,000 a year from all the money that I've accumulated and not run out. If you have a $40,000 pension, you might not be excited that it's $40,000 a year, but the one thing you can be excited about, it's not stopping. It's coming, no matter whether the markets are good, whether it's bad, whether it doesn't matter who's in office as the president, doesn't matter what's going on in China or in Iran or Afghanistan or Mexico or Canada or whatever, you're getting your check. But if you're relying on the money that you've accumulated to produce a $40,000 a year income stream, and the markets go up and down, the value of your accounts go up and down, it can be pretty nerve-wracking. You want to be sure that you're working with somebody who's giving you the rational guidance, the rational understanding, and the conversation points so that you can make smart decisions during emotional times. I think that's what we do more than anything else. And we have been very spoiled. The past 10 years, folks, all you've seen is generally up. And people are forgetting that there will be days when the market goes down for more than a day or two, more than a coronavirus scare, more than a China trade tariff scare, more than an issue in Iran or Afghanistan or a presidential election or whatever else it might be. It's going to last for a longer period of time. Is your portfolio positioned properly? Is your plan in place so that you have emergency resources to draw upon if you don't want to pull money from your investment account? Is your job secure? Have you protected your family? Are you having the right taxes withheld from your pay? Well, you're going to find that out pretty soon when you file your taxes in the next couple months. Will you owe money? Will you be getting a refund? And I will tell you this, and I tell this every year. If you owe more money than you did last year, or last year maybe you paid a refund, you got a refund and you owe money this year, or your refund is smaller, it is not your accountant's fault. Your accountant is just doing the check and balances that's necessary based upon the documentation you gave them. You can manage the amount of taxes that you will owe with making decisions over the course of the year. Don't point your finger at your accountant. Take accountability. Look at yourself in the mirror. Understand you can control much of your retirement and financial life. And with some guidance from a firm like Friedman Financial, we will help you achieve success. That's going to do it for us today. We've got to get out of here. I will be back again next Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday is tonight. I got no place to go for a Super Bowl party. If you want to invite me, please let me know. I'm rooting for the Chiefs, so perhaps I can find a place where I can enjoy that. Have a great day today. I'll be back next Sunday. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
entire show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.